we're in 1 Samuel chapter number 18, and we're going to pick up where we left off a few Sundays ago in this Bible study that we have started in the life of David in 1 Samuel. And today we're in 1 Samuel chapter 18. We've already looked at some portions of the 1 Samuel chapter 16, and then we looked at some portions in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David as an anointed king in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and then in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David slays Goliath. And I know that was a passage of scripture or chapter in 1 Samuel that took us a few messages, but we were able to see David's victory over Goliath there in 1 Samuel chapter 17. So in 1 Samuel 16, he goes from being a shepherd boy to an anointed king. And here's now God's anointed king, David, as, by the way, a little teenage boy, an anointed king, a man after God's own heart, the man that would take over after the reign of Saul. Saul had been rejected from being king. God was looking for a man after his own heart. And he found it in a shepherd boy, didn't he? He found it in a teenage boy who had a life that was pleasing to the Lord. And then we saw in chapter 17 that he went from delivering food to his brothers to a point in which he delivered an entire nation from not only guilt, but really from shame. Remember the Philistine giant Goliath who got up and defied the armies of the living God. And David said, "Is there not a cause?" And David fought that giant, didn't he? He was able to hear the words of Goliath as Goliath thundered those words out. He had done it for 40 days. And everybody else in a cowardly way would not face that giant. But David, as he was sent by his dad to deliver food, he ended up delivering an entire nation from guilt and from shame. And then we get here to 1 Samuel chapter number 18. And this morning I want to concentrate on just the first few verses of 1 Samuel chapter number 18. And I want us really to concentrate mostly this morning on a friendship that is being built here in the life of David. We're talking about, we're trying to go along with our theme of press on, and we're trying to talk about the perseverance in David's life as he was able to start the task that God had for him. And we're going to notice as he gets to the finish line, he finishes the task that God has for him. And we're going to see some circumstances that take place in his life to lead to us using David as an illustration of perseverance and finishing the task that God had for him as a man after God's own heart. But we're going to notice in 1 Samuel chapter number 18 a unique friendship that is built here between David and Jonathan, who is Saul's oldest son. And we're going to notice that in the first few verses of 1 Samuel chapter number 18. And here's what I want us to notice as we look at these first few verses of 1 Samuel chapter 18 this morning. I want us to notice how many truths that we can glean from these verses. I want us to notice some applications this morning. I want us to see some illustrations that could be true of our life today if we'll take these verses here from the first part of 1 Samuel chapter number 18 and apply them to our lives today. After all, that's the whole purpose of what we're doing this morning. We want our preaching to glorify the Lord. We want, as we listen to the preaching, we want to glorify the Lord in that way, and we want to worship the Lord through our message this morning. But really, it would be all in vain if we don't apply something to our lives today. And so let's leave different than we came in for the honor and glory of the Lord. Let's make application of these truths that we find here in the first couple verses of 1 Samuel chapter number 18. I want us to notice some thoughts this morning from 1 Samuel 18. The first one I want us to notice is this. There is a promise, number one, between friends. I want us to notice a promise between friends. I think as we look through 1 Samuel chapter 18, the first few verses here, I think we're going to notice some biblical truths about friendships. Now, I would imagine that in our congregation this morning, of course, we would think about friendships that we have. We could think about friendships in a very broad sense, maybe individuals that we know but we don't make a lot of contact with, and then friends that are maybe a little bit closer to us, and then the very close friendships that we have. And there are some Bible ingredients, some biblical ingredients when we think about a friendship and we think about building a friendship. And so I think we're going to notice some truths here from the story of Jonathan and David. So let's notice a promise that is made between these two friends, David and Jonathan, Saul's oldest son again, make a covenant here in the first few verses of 1 Samuel chapter number 18. They form a friendship. And notice what the Bible says. And by the way, in order for us to understand the complete context of the beginning of 1 Samuel chapter 18, we have to know that after David fought with Goliath and he defeated Goliath, he killed Goliath, and they had victory over the Philistines, David and Saul began to have a conversation at the end of 1 Samuel chapter number 17. We won't take time to go back and read those verses, but the Bible tells us that Saul is talking to David. And then the Bible tells us that after Saul comes to a point in which he ends that conversation with David, we move into chapter number 18. So let's notice what's said in the very beginning of 1 Samuel chapter number 18. It says this, "And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul." Now that's David. When David had made an end of speaking unto Saul, "that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." We're seeing a covenant that's going to be made between these two men, a forming of a friendship. And I think, again, we'll see some biblical ingredients of a friendship. Notice verse 2. "And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house." So now, living there with Saul and Jonathan is David. And the Bible tells us in verse number 3, notice what happens here, "Then Jonathan and David made a covenant." So this is number 1 in our passage of Scripture that we're dealing with this morning. The promise between friends. They make a covenant with one another. Notice what it says. "Because he loved him as his own soul." Now, I do believe that the love they had for one another was mutual. A love, a friendship that they had for one another. The love that Jonathan had for David. The love that David had for Jonathan. Now, I know that throughout the years of individual studying this passage in the Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 16, I know that commentators have taken this passage of Scripture and they've said that it was an inappropriate relationship they were having with one another. But we do not believe that at all. We believe that this is just the forming of a friendship, just like we would think of a close friend today. The love that Jonathan had for David, the love that David had for Jonathan. And then they make a covenant with one another, and then the Bible tells us that Jonathan does something. Look at verse 4, if you would. "Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle." Now, I want us to notice some things that we've seen in the first 4 verses. Number 1, let's go back to verse number 1. I want us to look at one of the words that's found in verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan," here's the word, was knit with the soul of David. That word "knit" there in the verse has the idea of being chained or knitted together like a rope would be knitted to another rope. It has the idea of being intertwined with one another. And then the Bible tells us in verse number 3 that they make a covenant. Now we want to notice some pictures that are given for us in these first 4 verses. And one of the pictures I believe we see or we find in verse number 3. Notice the picture that's given here. It says in verse number 3, "Then Jonathan and David made a covenant." Now the picture that we're going to see with their friendship is a biblical ingredient for a friendship. I believe we see the picture of loyalty here. A covenant that was made. Now you say, well, what was so special about that covenant? What was so special about that promise that they made with one another? Well, the covenant that Jonathan and David made with one another was a commitment to one another. They were committing themselves to one another. They were committing themselves to a friendship that was not just for a day. It was not just for a few months. It wasn't a friendship for a year or two. It was a friendship for life. It was a covenant that they had made to commit themselves to one another. And it was a commitment for life. Now, here's an ingredient that we would see in the Bible about a biblical friendship. They had a friendship with one another even when times were difficult. Isn't that true about a real friend? A real friend is loyal, aren't they? And a real friend will stand by you even when times are difficult. I know it's been said that if you have two or three really, really, really close friendships throughout your time on this earth, you've been a very blessed individual. I think that probably all of us in here could say that maybe we've even gone above that number, where we have maybe perhaps more than two or three real close friends. But if you think about the knitting of friends with one another, a covenant or a commitment that is made to be loyal, and to be loyal even when times are difficult. You say, well, how could that be illustrated in this story? I know it's in passages to come, but the Bible tells us how that Jonathan cared for David even when Jonathan's own father, Saul, was trying to kill David. So David went through some extremely difficult times, and yet Jonathan remained faithful. He remained loyal to his friend. Now, we told you how that these were some biblical ingredients of a friendship. Well, let's notice some verses as we go through these thoughts about friends. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 17, if you don't want to take the time to look up that verse, if you would at least maybe perhaps jot it down, an ingredient that the Bible gives to us about a true friendship. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 17, it says these thoughts about a friend. It says this, a friend loveth at all times. So a friend loves when things are good, and a friend loves when times are bad. At the very end of that verse, it says this, and a brother is born for adversity. Have you ever had a true friend that's come along beside you when you've gone through difficult times in life? And they've really encouraged you. That's what's happening with Jonathan, and that's what's happening with David. A commitment to one another, a covenant with one another, a promise with one another, a picture, a wonderful picture of loyalty. But as we think about the life of David and we think about the life of Jonathan, I think we could have some other biblical principles of friendship that we could see in their lives. Another truth that I want to bring out to you about the friendship of Jonathan and David is that friends are sensitive to the needs of one another. Have you had a friend throughout your time on earth that's been very sensitive to your needs? As a matter of fact, a friend that might perhaps be so close to you that you would say, maybe perhaps it's your spouse, a husband or a wife. And they would be able to look at you and say, hey, I know something's bothering you. I'm sensitive to your needs. That's what God desires for us to be like when it comes to a biblical friendship, to be sensitive to the needs of one another. Now let's go back to what we said about Jonathan. Jonathan knew that David had times in which he needed to be cared for. He had times in which he needed Jonathan to look out for him as a good friend, and he was sensitive to the needs of Jonathan, or excuse me, of David, as Jonathan's own father, Saul, sought to kill David. But then after Jonathan dies, the Bible tells us part of their covenant. Now we don't see the rest of the part of the covenant that we're talking about until we get to chapter number 20. But there's another part of this covenant that's so unique, because David promises to Jonathan that I'm going to show kindness to your house. Meaning that in the future, even if your life on this earth comes to an end, Jonathan, I'm going to make sure I take care of your house. And I'm going to make sure I show kindness to your house. Well, a little later, and we get to the book of 2 Samuel, and we won't take the time to look at it now, but when we get to the book of 2 Samuel, the Bible tells us that Jonathan had a family member. His name was Mephibosheth. And the Bible tells us that David, sensitive to the needs of Jonathan's family, after Jonathan had already died, Jonathan is already dead now when we get to 2 Samuel. And the Bible tells us that David kept his word. He was loyal to his friend, and he was sensitive to the needs of Jonathan. Even though Jonathan was no longer on earth, he remembered the promise that he had made that he would show kindness. And the Bible tells us that he showed kindness to Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, and even brought him into the royal palace. Friends are sensitive to the needs of one another. But then think about this. Friends also encourage one another. Friends strengthen one another. That's a Bible principle, isn't it? That is a Bible ingredient or a biblical ingredient of a friendship. They strengthen one another. They encourage one another. Now, if your Bible is open there in 1 Samuel chapter 18, if you would turn just a few chapters over to 1 Samuel chapter 23, the Bible tells us down in verse number 16, notice what it says of Jonathan. It says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the woods. You say, well, why is David in the woods? Because he's running from Saul. He's running for his life, and he's in the woods running away from Jonathan's own dad, who's desiring to kill him. And the Bible tells us this about Jonathan. Notice, he went into the woods, or went to David into the woods, and strengthened his hand in God. You say, what does that mean? Jonathan strengthens David's hand in God. What does that mean? That means he encouraged him. He strengthened him in the Lord. That's what biblical friends do. They encourage one another. They strengthen one another. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 17, it says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. I don't know how many times throughout my time of ministry where I have had somebody come along and encourage me and just strengthen me in my journey and in my walk with the Lord. Some of those individuals that I'm thinking about even right now in my mind and in my heart are the ones that I would go to and say they are showing such a pattern and following the biblical ingredients of what a friend truly is. Maybe from time to time it's just as simple as sending an encouraging text to somebody. Maybe an encouraging email. Maybe an encouraging letter to somebody. To just strengthen their hands in the Lord, to encourage them. Hey, today we need to be encouragers. We live in a world full of discouragements. And as Christians, we need to come together in biblical friendship and encourage one another. Every Sunday morning, I get a text message. And you guys are familiar with who this is, Brother Scott Matthews. He travels with the Rochester family, and they were here just a couple months ago here at our church. And every Sunday morning, Brother Matthews sends me a text message, and he encourages me for the day. He talks to me about how he's praying for our services, and that's an encouragement. And I have other friends in the ministry that from time to time on a Sunday morning will say, hey, I just want to let you know I'm praying for your service today. I just want to let you know I'm asking God on behalf of you for your service today. And just to encourage one another. When, again, sensitive to the needs, when we know somebody might need some encouragement from time to time, let's be a biblical friend. Let's look at the pattern of David and Jonathan. But here's encouraging news. We're not even done with the truths that we're going to be able to glean from their friendship. Look back, if you would, at verse number 3, now notice the covenant. Remember what we told you the covenant pictured. It said in verse 3, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. But we're not done. The covenant pictured loyalty, but now notice the Bible tells us that Jonathan does something. He doesn't just say in words, I love you. He doesn't just make a covenant or a promise in words only. Instead, he does something to prove his love. He does something to prove the covenant or the promise that he makes to David. Notice what the Bible says he does in verse 4, if you would. It says, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him. So this robe is on his back. We're going to talk about that robe in just a minute. The Bible says, and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle, the Bible says. He takes these items off of his own body, off of his own self, and he hands these items to David. Now, there's a wonderful picture here. Now, we saw the picture of loyalty in verse number 3 as they made a covenant with one another. But I want us to notice in verse number 4, I believe we see a picture of submission. You say, well, what do you mean by submission? Jonathan was submitted to God's will or God's plan of David being the next king. David had been anointed to be the next king. I don't know that David had shared that news with everybody, but I do believe he had shared it with Jonathan. And because of their close friendship, David shares the news with Jonathan. I've been anointed to be the next king. I'm going to take over as the king. God was searching for a man after his own heart, and I've been anointed now to be the king. And Jonathan understands that, and he submits to the plan of God. He submits to the will of God of David being the next king. Now think about Jonathan. By the way, before we consider Jonathan, may I add an application to this? Are you submitted to the plan of God for your life? Are you submitted to God's will for your life? Maybe perhaps there's somebody even sitting in here today. Maybe this challenge is just for one. But maybe there's something that you know in your heart would have you to do. And to this point, you've still failed to submit to it. You haven't submitted to that plan that He has for you. You haven't submitted to the will that God has for your life. Would you be like Jonathan? And would you submit to the plan that God has for your life? But let's consider Jonathan. Here is Jonathan, Saul's oldest son. Now we understand because he's the oldest son, he is then destined for the throne. He's destined to be the next king. But that king that would follow his dad, Saul, has already been appointed by God, hasn't it? David would be the next king. You know, the Bible tells us that Jonathan is accepting this. He's submitted to the plan and the will of God. Now, the covenant that they made in verse number 3, that we saw in verse number 3, the covenant that we made that we told you gave us a wonderful picture of loyalty, that covenant committed them to one another. But the gifts that Jonathan gave to David sealed the covenant. So it wasn't just in words. But now I'm going to take off the robe, and I'm going to take off the girdle and the bow and the sword, and I'm going to give you these things to seal the covenant. Not in words only, but now in actions. I seal the covenant by giving you these gifts. But we want to go back to verse number 4 because we want to notice that these gifts picture some wonderful truths about friendship and about submission to the will of God. Here's this friend Jonathan with his friend David. And these gifts that he gave pictured an unselfish friend. It pictured a sacrificial friend. Are you an unselfish friend today? Are you a friend that is willing to sacrifice for those whom you call your friends? Let's notice what the Bible says Jonathan gave to David. Would you look back at these items? Notice number 1, it says in verse 4, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him. Can we take just a few moments to look at the various items that Jonathan gifted to David, and could we make application? Could we ask some questions and maybe perhaps apply these to our lives this morning? First of all, we notice the robe. Now, the robe was a picture of the position that Jonathan would one day have. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, this was a kingly robe. And so as a result of it being a kingly robe, it pictured the position that Jonathan would one day have. But we understand that Jonathan now is submitted to the fact that he would not have that position, and David would then take his place. So as he takes that robe off of his back, and he places that robe onto David's back, it's a wonderful picture of submission. It's a wonderful picture of giving up his position that he had so that God could have control. He was honoring David. He was transferring his position of being the next king to the one whom he knew that God had appointed and anointed to be the next king. Now, can I say this by way of a truth for our life or by way of an application for our life? Every one of us that are sitting in here today have a position. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, for men that are sitting in here today, maybe perhaps your position is that you're a husband. God has given you that position. You're a husband. Maybe for some men that are sitting in here, you're not only a husband, but you're also a father. Maybe for some, God has blessed you with the position of not only being a husband, you're a father, and you're also a grandfather. Every man that's sitting in here today would say, whether your earthly dad is still alive, or maybe perhaps has gone from this earth, you would say you've got the position of being a son. For ladies in here today, God has blessed you perhaps with the position of saying, I'm a wife. God has blessed me. I have the position of being a wife, and I'm a wife to a husband. For some ladies, you would say it goes on from there, and I'm a mother as well. God has given me the wonderful privilege to be a mother. That's the position that God has me in right now. For some ladies, you'd say, not only am I a mother, but I'm also a grandmother. all of the ladies could say, well, I'm a daughter to somebody. I've got a position of that. I'm a daughter to somebody. Perhaps many of us in here today could say that we have a position of being a Christian. That's the position that God has given to us. Can I say that whatever category you put yourself in, for some it may be multiple categories that you would say, these are positions that God has given to me. Have you given that position over to God? And are you allowing Him to control you as you fulfill the responsibilities of that position that God has given to you? For men, we've got a responsibility of being a leader, don't we? To love the wives that God has given to us. Are you fulfilling that position, the duties and the responsibilities of that position that God has given to you? For wives to submit to your husband and the leadership of your husband, to be the loving wife and the respectful wife and the wife that gives reverence to her husband, as the Bible very clearly lays out for us. For sons and daughters that are sitting in here, for our young people, our teenagers that are sitting in here, to be the son or daughter that God wants you to be, to obey and to honor and to respect your parents. For Christians that are sitting in here, to take the position of being a Christian very responsibly and say, I want to be the best Christian that I can possibly be as I walk in the way that the Lord would have for me to walk. Are you taking the position that God has given to you, and are you letting Him have control? Jonathan let God have control of his position. He was destined to be the king, but that was not in God's will. That was not in God's timing, and he gave up his position to submit to God. Would you look at another possession that was given up? Look at verse number 4, if you would. It says, not only did he strip himself of the robe that was upon him, and he gave it to David, but notice it says also this, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. Look at these other various possessions that Jonathan had that he gave up. Now, we looked at the robe, and we said that the robe was a picture of his position that he surrendered to the Lord. But I want us to look at the garment. I want us to look at the sword. I want us to look at the bow and the girdle. And I want us to picture these items as being the possessions that Jonathan had. I'm willing to submit and surrender my position to God, but I'm also willing to surrender and submit my possessions to God as well. I'm going to give these over to the one whom God has chosen to be the next king. And can I say this? As he gave these to David, it was an act of obedience. I'm willing to obey the plan and the path that God has for me. I'm showing that I have a love for the will of God, a willingness to follow the will of God. Did you notice that there was no jealousy in Jonathan? I think as we read on in 1 Samuel chapter numbers 18, we're going to notice that David and Jonathan show no jealousy, but Saul sure has moments of jealousy. But there's no jealousy in Jonathan at all. He is submitted to the will of God, and he shows that by taking his hands off his position, but he also takes his hands off his possessions as well. Do you realize that there are some things that you possess today? And I ask you a question, have you given them all over to God? Whether you give all your possessions over to God or not, they still belong to Him. But one of the happiest days in your life as a Christian will be when you say, I take my hands off what I possess or what I own and realize that God is ultimately the one that owns them, and He has just given them to me for the purpose of being a wise steward of those possessions that I have. Would you take your hands off your possessions and say, God, I'm going to give them over to You so that You can use them for Your honor and Your glory? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 19 and 20, we read it this morning in our adult men's Sunday school class. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God? And listen to this, he says, ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Now that price we know is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this, and glorify God, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're to give over to God all of our possessions. We're to give over to God our body. That's what we have. And then our spirit, that is what I am. And I give all of those possessions over to God so that he can use them for his honor and his glory. Can I show you some things that these items that Jonathan gave to David would have represented? Notice the Bible says not only does he give him his garments, but the Bible tells us he also gives him his sword. Now what would a sword in the hand of Jonathan have represented? I think it would have represented his protection. He's protected by that sword. But now Jonathan hands that sword over to David, saying, I'm relying upon God for protection. I'm giving my possessions and my position over to God. I give my protection over, knowing that God is the source that I can go to. He is the one I can trust. He's the one that's going to protect me. But then think of another item that Jonathan gave to David. The Bible tells us he gave him his bow as well. I believe his bow would have been a representation of the talents that he had. Now imagine Jonathan's skill with that bow. He would have had to work very hard to get good with that bow. If you can think back to the illustration of David with the sword and with the sling, or excuse me, with the stone and with the sling, how he would have had to have worked hard to get to be good with that stone and with that sling that was in his hand. Jonathan would have worked hard to get good with this bow. We could have even said he was talented with that bow. He had an ability. It's a wonderful picture of giving our abilities and our talents over to the Lord. Lord, you can have my abilities. Lord, you can have my talents. They may not be much, but Lord, when I give them over to you, you can use them for your honor and then your glory. And then notice, as we put all of these items together that David, that Jonathan gave to David, his sword, his garments, his bow, his girdle, his robe that he had, what would that have represented? All of these together, I believe, would have represented Jonathan's plans and Jonathan's desires. Think about Jonathan's plans. Jonathan's plans, I'm the oldest son of Saul, so I'm destined to be the next king. That, at one point, would have been Jonathan's plan. That would have been my desire. I'm going to take over as the next king. I'm going to be the king that God is going to choose. But he had to give all of that over to David because that was God's plan. He surrendered. He submitted to the plans of God. Can I ask you, by way of a truth for your life, have you given your plans and your abilities and your talents and your desires over to the Lord? The Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You say, well, wait a minute. What if my desires are not what God's desires are? Well, when you fall in love with Jesus and you're desiring to please him, your desires and his desires will always match, won't they? Would we live in submission to the plan and the desire that God has for our life? What a wonderful picture here we see of a loyal friend. What a wonderful picture we see here of an unselfish friend and a sacrificial friendship. But I don't want to close too quickly without applying the illustration of Jonathan and David to the friend that we have. Now, I'm not talking about an earthly friend anymore. We have earthly friends. And praise the Lord for earthly friends that encourage us. But we have a friend that the Bible tells us sticks closer than a brother. I think the illustration of Jonathan and David and the love that they had for one another and the submission and the loyalty and the sacrifice and the unselfishness is a wonderful reminder of the friendship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a question? Do you know the friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Do you have a relationship today with the friend that sticketh closer than a brother? If you don't, the Bible tells you how you can know that. The Bible tells us we get to a place where we admit that we're a sinner. We realize there is a consequence, a punishment, something that we deserve as a result of our sin. And the Bible says that even though I'm a sinner, and even though there's a punishment for my sin, that's some pretty bad news, but the good news is that God loves me. And He loves me so much that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down from heaven to come to this earth to live a perfect and a sinless life, to pay the price so that we could have the gift that He wants to offer us. Now, gifts are given, but somebody pays the price for the gift. Jesus paid the price, didn't He? He paid the price so that we could have eternal life. And the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's when you begin a relationship with the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. As we close this morning, maybe there's somebody here today that does not know Jesus as Savior. You don't know. You don't have a relationship with the one that sticketh closer than a brother. Would you come to know Him today if He's speaking to your heart? In surrender and submission to Him, would you yield your heart to Him and say, "God, I want this gift that you have made available to me. I want to reach out and I want to take it today. I want to accept that gift of salvation that you've made available for me." But then, before we close in our earthly life, as we live this life on earth for the Lord as a Christian, let's be reminded of the relationship that David and Jonathan had, the friendship that they had, and how that friendship is a wonderful reminder of the friendship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say that Jesus is a loyal friend, isn't He? The Bible says, you say, how do you know He's loyal? Well, the Bible says that even at this very moment, He is interceding for us. Just like David and Jonathan had a wonderful picture of a loyal friendship, our God, our Savior, is a loyal friend to us. He sticks closer than a brother. He intercedes for us. He's sitting down on the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for those who are His children. We can go to God at any time. Can I say this? Something else that makes our Savior, our best friend, loyal is the fact that He keeps His promises. There are sometimes, as a human being, of course, where I haven't been able to keep a promise that I've given. Sometimes it even happens with my children. And I say, you know, we may have promised something. We'll try to do our very best to make that up, but we weren't able to keep that promise necessarily. But Jesus, He never fails at keeping a promise. He is a loyal friend, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's always there for us. The Bible says He'll never leave us or forsake us. When you go to Him, you're not going to get a busy signal. You're not going to have to leave a message that will have to have a reply and it'll have to wait till later. He's always there. And then here's something else that reminds us of the loyalty of the one that sticks closer than a brother. He's coming again, isn't He? And He's going to receive us unto Himself, that where He is, there we may be also. Not only is He a wonderful friend with His loyalty, and not only is it a wonderful picture of the friendship of Jonathan and David, but also our Savior, the one that sticks closer than a brother, is a wonderful picture of friendship when it comes to His unselfishness and His sacrificial love. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 15 and verse number 13, I believe the reference is, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Those who are His friends, what a wonderful picture of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the unselfish love. But then remember what we said about Jonathan and David. We told you that a good friend strengthens and encourages one another. The Bible tells us, and I want to read this verse to you so that you hear it. The Bible tells us that the Lord encourages us by His Holy Spirit that lives within us. The Bible says in Ephesians 3, in verse number 16, it says this, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, now notice this, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. You can be strengthened by the Lord, can't you? He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If you have no one else you could possibly go to find encouragement, you can go to the Lord, can't you? And you can go to His Word, and you can find strength, and you can find encouragement from our Savior. But then, remember, we notice that Jonathan and David were sensitive to one another's needs. Did you know we serve a Savior who's sensitive to our needs? He knows what we have need of, and just like the Bible says, a father will take care of his child. Our Heavenly Father will take care of His children. He knows what we have need of. He's sensitive to our needs, and He'll take care of us. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, I know there's a context to this passage, but it says, but my God shall supply all your needs. You're faithful to Him, and He will be faithful to you. He knows what you have need of. And He's provided us even far above and beyond what we even have need of, to the point where it even reaches our wants. Hasn't God been good to us? Can I say it this way about the friendship we have? What a friend we have in Jesus. But sadly, sometimes we don't take advantage of that friendship. As the songwriter says, all our needs and sins to bear, He wants to take care of us. But sometimes, sadly, we don't allow Him to be the friend that He wants to be. Would you look at the story of Jonathan and David? And would you evaluate in your heart what kind of a friend you are? And if you have a relationship with a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, have you taken your hands off of your plans and your desires and your will for your life? Have you taken your hands off your possessions and given them over to the Lord for His use and for His honor and His glory? Let's evaluate the Lord the way the Lord has spoken to us this morning. Father, I thank You for the message this morning. I thank You, Lord, for using the thought